Rick, weekly applications for unemployment benefits rose slightly last week, up 10,000 to a seasonally adjusted 247,000.
They did go up slightly, but not really anything to worry about. Looking at that report and those numbers, I looked at the longer-term data series. You actually have to go back to 1973 to find a similar number of initial claims for jobless benefits. So, here we are at just a two-generation low. And so, no, it's not a big deal. These are high-frequency releases. Every week we get it. And so there is a little noise in the data. But overall, the initial jobless claims are consistent with a labor market that's as healthy as it's been in decades. So what we have to worry about is the labor force participation rate, because you can't apply for jobless benefits, unemployment insurance benefits, if in fact you haven't been looking for work. So the real issue is, why is it that labor force participation rates have declined? They've leveled off and slightly declined for women. And for men of prime working age, 25 to 54, they're on a long-term downward trend for participation. That's the concern.
Well, there are jobs available. Let's discuss the latest report now on monthly job openings, or the JOLTS report.
Right. Job openings, labor turnover survey, the JOLTS report. Very interesting. Job openings are running at an annual increase of about 4 to 6% in late 2016. That's healthy. I mean, seeing average 5% increase in job openings every month relative to the same month the year before is good. It's not as good as it was in 2014 and 2015, when we were really recovering. That's when the economy picked up momentum in 2014 and 2015 in terms of job growth. And then we were seeing a monthly increase relative to the same month the year before of about 20%. And that was sustained over 2 years. And so not as fast as it was, but it's still pretty doggone good.
A shift now to health care. Republican lawmakers worked late Wednesday on steps to repeal Obamacare. Talk, if you would now, Rick, about how repeal without replacement could affect Florida. There's a new report out that predicts Florida could lose thousands of jobs.
Well, I don't think that report is accurate. It's not a look at the overall local, regional, state economy, because Obamacare, in the way that it's been paid for, called for new taxes. There was the extension of the payroll tax on people. You know, it used to be that you'd reach a certain income, $120,000 or so, and the FICA, the majority of the FICA tax, 15.3% total, of which the employer pays half, the employee pays half. The majority of that was Social Security, but there was also the Medicare, Medicaid, 3.6% of the total. And that 3.6% was actually extended to higher incomes, and regardless of the size of the income or the source of the income. And so I'm assuming that the repeal of the financial provisions is going to include the rollback of that new tax. And so what's really going to happen is that higher income, above the traditional Social Security cap, higher income workers, citizens, residents are going to get a break in their tax burden. And what the study done by the Commonwealth Fund doesn't address specifically is the additional spending, the additional jobs that will be created by rolling back the additional tax on individuals, and also the medical device tax on medical device manufacturers. That's going to flow as additional profits to the shareholders of those firms, and they're going to spend that money on something, or they might save it. And so it's really a distributional effect. It's clearly going to be an additional cost to healthcare providers who are not going to have that source of revenue, which was the federal subsidy to Medicaid, which then flowed through to the people to the healthcare providers who accepted those Medicaid policies. And so in that sense, yes, I agree that there will be less money flowing to healthcare providers, and they will be the negative recipients of the repeal of Obamacare effects, but there will be jobs that arise elsewhere in the economy. And so the net effect, given that Florida was always paying the additional taxes for Obamacare, but chose to decline to accept the expansion of covered population that would have come with Obamacare, it could easily be that the net effects to Florida are positive, but they're clearly negative for healthcare providers.
How should communities like Pensacola, where healthcare is one of our top industries, how should we interpret this or view this?
Healthcare clearly is one of our top three industries, along with military payrolls, leisure and hospitality tourism payrolls. Healthcare payrolls are right up there. You know, the national average is about 18% of gross domestic product goes to healthcare, a little bit higher than that in Pensacola, particularly Escambia County, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa-Walton, not quite so high as Pensacola. And so we are a regional healthcare hub. And to the extent that we are doing more than simply meeting the needs of the resident population, then that creates a growth opportunity to serve patients and give them, you know, life-saving, life-changing health care who come from hundreds of miles around. However, we don't get to make those decisions. We have very little control over it. And that's true over two out of the three of our biggest sectors. Same is true for military. Those decisions are made in Washington, not locally. Healthcare, based on the needs of the local population, for the most part, although we do have the snowbird population, of course, and the tourist population. The sector where we really get to set our own destiny is leisure and hospitality, tourism, because we define the brand of our marketplace, the visitors that come, the advertising that gets done. We can certainly gain share in leisure and hospitality in a way that we can't do in healthcare and military, our other two big sectors.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.